faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
The Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. Conversations that change the way you lead. In the past, Leadership File has featured some of the statistics regarding the declining church attendance in the UK, including that of the Church of England. Overall average attendance at Sunday services across England fell by 22,000 to 764,700 in 2014, a fall of 7% in 5 years. Many have ideas on how we might see a reversal in these trends. At the heart of the debate about reinvigorating the churches in our land is the kind of leadership training that is offered. I'm joined this week by the Reverend Dr. Andy Emerton, Dean of St. Melitus College in London, which is changing the theological training landscape, growing from nothing in 2007 to be one of the largest theological colleges in the UK and one of the largest theological colleges in the Anglican Church worldwide, with currently 210 ordinands in training and some 650 people taking its courses. So welcome, Andy, to Leadership Farm.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, your journey to St. Melitus, first of all.
It wasn't a straightforward one, actually. I didn't set out aiming to be in theological education. It wasn't where I expected to end up. I started off as a scientist. So my background is actually in science, scientific consultancy. My PhD's in science. Rather than theology. I captured a passion along the way for helping people to think through their faith, how that plays out in life. And I also picked up a real passion for leadership and leadership development along the way as well. I did a lot of youth work for many years, so developing young leaders. And then when I got ordained, I guess it perhaps no surprise that I ended up pulling these things together. So after a curacy at Holy Trinity Brompton, just around the time that St. Melitus came into being, I took up the opportunity to accept a role to work with them. And I guess the thing for me that's been absolutely fantastic has been the bringing together of that love for helping people to think, in this case theologically, thinking about life and faith and how that plays out in culture and society, but also that people development, that passion for shaping leaders, in this case leaders for the church. So bringing together that sort of theology, that love for character formation, shaping people's lives, and just the practice of ministry and making a difference on the ground.
Great. It would be remiss not to ask what your what branch of science you specialise in. You have a PhD
you'll be able to understand it, no problem. So maths and computing was sort of where I started off, really, and it was applied sort of theoretical physics. So it was actually sponsored by an oil company, which is challenging in the current climate for the oil companies. So it was oil. It was looking at complex fluids and oil and water structures. So not massively relevant to the stuff I do now.
Is there a tiny part of you that would have loved to have had a role in seeing some of that in your work?
Yeah, so I did a little bit for a while. So after my PhD, I worked for a technical consultancy firm called Detica, and loved that. I loved the client interface, loved the sort of problem solving, the project management stuff that went with that. But what's fascinating is that one of the things I've been able to bring to the St. Melitus role is that more strategic process, organisational piece, which comes from that scientific technical background. And I work with theologians a lot, and they're brilliant and fantastic, wonderful people. They're not always the most organised. So one of the things that St. Melitus has developed as it's grown, one of the particular roles that I've taken on, first as assistant dean and then more recently as dean, is that sort of structural process, organisational piece. And particularly as we've had to rethink our leadership development, our management, our sort of, as we've changed, as we've grown, just rethinking how that whole thing then works. So it's amazing how God has used the different parts of my background to land in this role that I now have.
And your own coming to faith?
So as a teenager, amazingly, confirmation classes of all things in my little Anglican village church just outside Chester. And what was really fascinating was a fairly nominal sort of going to church background, but faith not being massively real within the home or family. But actually the vicar of the local church was traditional, sort of robe choir, but he was passionate about Jesus. And actually in these confirmation classes, that really came through and it struck a chord with me, and God warmed my heart, and the Spirit, you know, the Spirit was at work. So again, and I think that's one of the other reasons why I'm passionate about the leadership development piece. You know, I saw the impact of somebody who, you know, really passionate about Jesus in their context and the difference that made for my life.
Wonderful, wonderful. I mentioned the phenomenal growth in the college over nearly 10 years. We mentioned before the programme, Graham Tomlin, who was then the founder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was on the show in the early years of the of St. Mellitus. And, you know, what do you account for the growing numbers? I guess you must, you know, you must think we must be doing something right. But do you know what those things are?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, we didn't set out to necessarily grow as big as we've become. We set out, I guess, to play our part in the revitalisation of the church in this country. I think we all know how important that is. Your statistics that you quoted at the beginning, we all want to try and see those turned around. And we want the church to have a greater, not lesser impact on society and on culture. So I think we set out just to play our part in that. And I guess the thing that St. Mellitus innovated, if you like, the theological training landscape had traditionally been, there was two routes for Church of England ordinands, people who are going to lead Anglican churches to follow. One of those was full-time residential colleges, where you left your context, your job, your church often, and you went to one of the seminaries and you lived there for 2 or 3 years, and then you'd go on to do a curacy somewhere else and move on. Or you trained part-time, sort of evenings and weekends, while still doing your normal job with all the challenges that that entailed as well. And I guess what we provided is a sort of third way. Not saying that we want to change the other two routes. They will still be right for a lot of people out there. But what we wanted to offer was something that was fairly creative, quite innovative. And essentially the key vision was to allow people to stay in a genuine, real local church community with mission and ministry responsibilities and do their training within that context. So, I mean, Teach First would be the sort of parallel, I guess, in the education world. Teachers trained on the job. And if you like, I guess we're trying to train vicars on the job a little bit. So the innovative model was what we call full-time church-based, context-based or mixed-mode training, depending on who's describing it. And the key thing is they spend 3 days a week in a local church context. Mm-hmm. And we have ordinands spread all over the country now. In their context, but in a context where they've got real mission and ministry responsibility for 3 days a week. But then they're coming alongside that, they're also doing some theological training, some practical ministry training, some thinking about leadership formation, leadership development. And the whole point of the St. Mellitus model is to put those things together as far as possible. And we also do part-time training. So we do the mixed mode model and the part-time training. But it's been the mixed mode model, I guess, that's seen the particular growth. And we feel has stimulated vocational growth as well. I don't know whether you're aware, but the Church of England nationally have set themselves a vision of increasing vocation to ordained ministry by 50% by 2020. And that's because there's going to be, along with some of the shrinking church statistics that there are out there, there's a statistic which suggests that 40% of the current clergy will be retiring in the next 10 years.
Well,
so we're facing a bit of a cliff face in terms of clergy numbers around the country. And so we're just wanting to play our part in trying to support that vocational increase. And I guess one of the best things about this model of training is because an ordinand stays in their context, in their church, people see them while they're training. And they think, oh, Fred can do that. Maybe I could as well. Yes. And so it just stimulates those thoughts about vocation. And when I talk about vocation, for some, that's to ordain roles. But we also train youth pastors. We also train lay people who just want to do theology degrees, theology courses, whether that's at undergraduate or postgraduate level, people who want to think about their faith a little bit more deeply and how that plays out in their own space that they're called to, whether that's the workplace, wider relationships, so on.
And your roots include an association with Holy Trinity Brompton. You mentioned yourself, your
absolutely
own time as a curate there.
Yeah.
And that's the home of Alpha, so that's kind of known, obviously, internationally. A thriving evangelical charismatic church. Is that part of the attraction, do you think?
So I think, I mean, our links to Holy Trinity Brompton are really strong and are really important. HTB is what we describe as one of the three founding partners of St. Miletus. So the Diocese of London, the Diocese of Chelmsford, and then Holy Trinity Brompton through its link with St. Paul's Theological Centre, which is a sort of theological training side of HTB. So it's very much a key partner. But obviously, with the diocese, and we serve many other dioceses as well, broadly speaking, St. Miletus, we have this vision to serve the whole church. But what I guess we're offering is some of the missional possibility, hope that HTB have become very well known for. Alpha in particular, working across the denominations, has been a key part of that in terms of encouraging evangelism. And that's something that we would want to encourage across the breadth of the church. And so, yeah, those links are really important. And we continue to be closely tied in with Holy Trinity Brompton, and particularly with some of the church planting vision that they've been very much part of as well.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, a number of Anglican churches in London and beyond have been reinvigorated by them sending teams. I did some research a long time back. And, you know, although Holy Trinity at that point was around 5,000, you could count at least 5,000 who'd left over that previous 10 years.
No. And it's really, I think what's really exciting is we've seen an acceleration in people's awareness of the church planting vision, but also in sort of people thinking that actually this would be a really good idea. So actually there's a growing number of dioceses across the country now who are proactively looking to have a sort of church plant or a church regeneration project that's linked in some way to HDB.
Well, you're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Andy Emerton. Andy is the Dean of St. Miletus College, and we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by the Reverend Dr. Andy Emerton, the Dean of St. Miletus College in London. We're talking particularly about the college and about its role in training up particularly Anglican ordinands, but also others for Christian ministry, and its phenomenal growth from nothing in 2007 to be one of the largest theological colleges in the UK. We were talking a little bit about its connection with Holy Trinity Brompton. And Andy, we were talking a bit earlier about the kind of offering, the way you offer your training. And I guess there is a debate over whether it's best to have a long period of purely theological study versus the one with a vocational element, which you have 3 days kind of academic and other days spent on in a local church context. And I guess, you know, for some who I've spoken to, they think I could never do that because, you know, pastoral ministry doesn't have boundaries and my academic world needs boundaries. And therefore they but what do your students tell you?
I mean, I think our experience now, having worked with this model for 7 or 8 years, and we've tweaked it, and I think the boundaries comment is a really apt one. Actually, I mean, I think if we're trying to train is people who are going to be sustained in their ministry over 20, 30, potentially 40 years for some of the younger ones, and actually having the right balance in your life, the right priorities and the right boundaries in your life is a vitally important part of sustaining that ministry. And we all know church leaders who have sadly burnt out or become dry or lost their passion over many years. So I think that one of the challenges of our model is the mix of theology, practical ministry, and having to do life well in the midst of that. So in one sense, it pressures people a little bit more. But actually what that helps us to do is to help them to work out what their appropriate boundaries are within that space. And inevitably, we say to all our students, look, we hope that even when you leave us, you'll continue to have a certain amount of your time bounded to do further study, ongoing reading, so that you're resourcing your preaching, your teaching, your vision, your ministry generally. Now, obviously, it won't be half and half long term. But actually, we find that the half-and-half model, while they're training, is a really good way of them learning some of the important skills that they'll need to continue to balance their priorities long-term, because we want them to be doing some theological studies, practical ministry, and doing life well over that long haul. So we find the pressure that this model uniquely creates is quite a helpful pressure for a lot of people. It's not to say it's easy. In one sense, I would say this is the harder way of training within the Church of England. It's certainly the most full-on, I think, in terms of time. But I think it's probably something that we think shapes people healthily for that long haul.
Yeah. And if someone trained with a so-called traditional model, yep, they would have to develop that pressure themselves as a curacy or an accuracy runner.
Yeah, and inevitably, if they trained just doing the theology, as I did, interestingly, before this model was available, so I did my 3 years residential context, which was great. I loved the theology. I loved the experience of that. But what it lacked for me was that engagement with practice in a way that I was really able to think through what my leadership looked like in this space. Mm. And what my calling to ministry looked like in this space. So I think that's what a curacy has traditionally done for people within the Anglican Church. They have to work that out at that stage.
And it does helpfully enable to contextualise what you're learning all the time.
Yeah.
So that's the criticism of theological study can be that it's ivory towerish.
Yeah.
And your context is always going to be playing into what you're learning.
Yeah, and we wouldn't want to undermine that drive for theological excellence, which the residential colleges are brilliant at doing. But it's very interesting, one of my staff team who had taught for quite a long time in the residential world is now teaching with us. She says that one of the things that fascinates her, she finds that our students ask what she calls sharper questions. And what she means by that is that they're bringing the encounter with a pastoral situation or an evangelistic opportunity from Thursday in their context to the theology they're studying on a Monday, and as a result they're asking sharper questions in terms of how this plays out in terms of practice. So it's not for everybody, but it does seem to be helping some to grow.
Looking at the kind of leadership element of your work, your job title is that of dean. What does the work require?
A whole lot of different hats at all sorts of different times, as you can imagine. And obviously, we've been really privileged. The thing's grown, as we've said. We now have a site in the Northwest. So as well as the London Centre and Chelmsford Centres, we have a centre based out of Liverpool Cathedral in the Northwest, serving five dioceses, so Blackburn, Carlisle, Manchester, Chester and Liverpool. So in partnership with those dioceses. And we mimic the full-time mixed mode model in London up in Liverpool, because obviously travel times into our centre for the days a week they're doing their training are really important. So inevitably, as dean, I've got oversight for all of that. So a lot of it is people management. A lot of it is maintaining really good relationships with the senior team, different people who are taking on different responsibilities within the life of the college. There's that organisational, structural process piece. So we've been through, as we've grown, inevitably we've had to change the way we do things. And so there's been a certain amount of sort of change management within that. And I guess some of my background in consultancy has not been unhelpful there. But then there's the sort of lead, the sort of point of unity within the life of the college, the role that the dean has to take on, holding together. We have a very diverse student body and a very diverse staff team, and holding that together is one of my roles as dean as well. And then trying to offer a lead in vision, engagement with the sort of wider church, conversations like this, which are a privilege to do. And the other person who's still very involved in all of that is now Bishop Graham Tomlin, who's president. He became Bishop of Kensington in September. He's now president of St. Mellitus, and he remains closely involved in some of those unity vision strategic pieces as well.
Theological College is a challenging place to lead. Having been involved in the journalists with Premier Christianity magazine, look back to the days where there were some pretty tough decisions had to be made, and also some relational difficulties, shall we say.
Yeah.
What are the challenges you face, particularly as a dean?
I think inevitably we have a logistics issue. So because our model, we don't have them all week, we don't have the students all week, so our contact time with our students is tighter than it would be in a residential college, so we have to try and make the most of that. So I think one of the challenges as dean has been to think through how we maximise the student-staff interface. And as we've grown bigger, how we sensibly and effectively and wisely break the big down into the small. Because obviously one of the things that is key in ministry training is formation. And we throw this word formation around. We mean all sorts of different things by that. But what I mean by it really is this holistic sense of shaping people after ultimately the likeness of Jesus Christ. We only have them for a 2 or 3 year period, but doing everything we can within that space to enable them to sharpen their own self-understanding, their self-awareness, awareness of the impact they have on others. And we all know those things are vital in church ministry. So trying to maximise that has been one of the things that I've been particularly sort of passionate about and trying to think through and improve over the years. And as Dean now, that question of formation and how are we best shaping all the different students that we have in our care is definitely one of the priorities and one of the challenges.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, you look at that as one of your courses that you teach, and spiritual formation. Are there particular approaches that you've appreciate, writers, thinkers that you value?
There's all sorts of people out there, obviously. I mean, Henri Nouwen is one of the guys I particularly find helpful because he's able to simplify things in some ways so wonderfully. His little book, In the Name of Jesus, which is probably one of the shortest books on Christian leadership that there is out there, but I think in one sense one of the most profound, certainly one of the most challenging that I've read. He talks about the temptations of relevance, popularity and power as being three of the fundamental flaws in those who would aspire to leadership roles in whatever form within the church, lay roles, ordained roles, and so on. And of course, what he's getting at underlying that is this vital importance of character and of Christian character and of the people we're becoming. And so that's one of the things that we're then trying to work out in our model of training. I think in terms of the model of sort of theological education that we're trying to work with, so this balance of theology practice, how God is shaping you in the midst of that, all done within the context of worship, prayer and those things. Robert Banks has got a little book, Re-envisioning Theological Education, which is he subtitles a missional alternative to current models. And he does a little bit of work analysing there the different approaches that have been taken to theological education sort of over the centuries and trying to say, OK, what's an appropriate model for today? And he's pushing, particularly thinking about a seminary context, pushing colleges to be much more missional in their engagement for students while training. Now, in one sense, we've taken that a step further and said, OK, let's actually put them in context so they are doing mission and ministry and then help them to reflect theologically within that space. But he's quite an interesting writer, reflecting on theological education, but also on Christian leadership.
We mentioned the challenge the Church of England has in terms of seeing growth. The mission-shaped report, Church report, advocated creating lay or ordained pioneer ministers in recognition of the need to create new, fresh expressions of church, where traditional church is not thriving. You have a pioneer leader stream. What kind of proportion opt for this? How's that bit of things going?
So that's a Church of England thing, a little bit, in that there is an official label that some ordinands have, which is this OPM, Ordained Pioneer Ministry label. And so some of the ordinands who come through the selection process and come to train with us or at other places come with that label. Now, what's fascinating is that we tend to suggest to our students that, I mean, ultimately we don't, although we cater for pioneers within the training, we don't create an entirely different stream for them.
Right, okay.
So what we actually say is, if you're going to be training for mission and ministry within the church today in our current situation with society, actually our sense is that you should all be pioneers.
So time's almost gone, sadly, Andy, but what's on the horizon for theological training at St. Vitus? I mean, you mentioned the northwest side.
I mean, we've always said we're happy to partner with any part of the church that wants to work with us. And there are other people now. I mean, the great thing about this sort of third way to training is that we're not the only people running that model now. So many of the other theological colleges in the country, the Anglican ones, are now running mixed mode models of their own, either attached to a residential model or perhaps to a part-time model. So I think from our side, we're sort of encouraged that we've stimulated the thinking and the approaches to ministry training around the country. I think obviously time will tell as to whether we're making any difference. Some of our first ordinands are now beginning to take on, you know, incumbency roles, leading churches perhaps for the first time. So it'll be an interesting question to see whether actually our model has made any difference in terms of the actual leadership that they manage to work out, the ministry formation that they take on in those places. So time will tell.
Wonderful. Well, it's been terrific to chat with you. And I mean, congratulations on such a vibrant, history, recent history, in terms of how God's used you. And obviously folk can go to
stmelitus.ac.uk. Yeah, stmelitus.ac.uk is the website, okay. And all the courses and ways to sign up or find out about the things we do. And of course, we do courses at accredited level, but we also do introductory courses. We have courses that are non-accredited. You don't have to read a book or write an essay. You can come and access some theology just as a taster.
And its location?
So between Earls Court and Gloucester Road is the main centre, but we also obviously Chelmsford. So if you're in sort of Essex direction, based in Chelmsford Cathedral on Thursday nights. And we do daytime and evening delivery of courses as well.
Splendid. Well, you've been listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Andy Emerton. So thank you, Andy, for his input today. The Reverend Dr. Andy Emerton, Dean of St. Melitus College. Do log on to Premier's website. You can listen to archives of The Leadership File, including this one in due course. I look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.